Good evening. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining the Joint Ways and Means Committee for this community meeting on the state budget. I see you out there. I hope you can see us. If you can see us, will you wave? Okay. Oh, good. Oh, all right.
Technology.
It's working. Terrific.
That's pretty cool.
We're going to use some very brief guidelines tonight to maximize the number of people to hear from and to hear about as many different topics as we can. If there is someone there in Coos Bay who can tell me the number of people who have signed up to testify, I'd really appreciate it. And so while you're getting that number, we're going to introduce ourselves so you know who you're talking to tonight. We'll start at this end with Representative Stark.
Dwayne Stark, House District 4, Southern Oregon.
Hi, everybody. I'm David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon Coast.
Katie McEwen, House District 9. Welcome, everyone. I want to, first of all, make sure you understand I don't sit on the Ways and Means Committee. I'm a guest here tonight, and I'm very honored to sit with this esteemed group, and I owe them a significant debt of gratitude and the staff for setting this up so that you all can participate in this process. So my thank you to the co-chairs and all of the committee members for taking time to give you an opportunity to express to them your concerns. So thank you for your participation, and thanks to the committee.
And I'm happy to be here. I'm John Huffman, state rep out of House District 59. I live in the Dalles.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Williamson. I'm the state representative from downtown Northwest and Southwest Portland, and I'm also the House Majority Leader.
So my name is Dan Refield, state representative, House District 16, Corvallis, Philomath, Oregon State University.
I'm Nancy Nathanson. I represent House District 13 in Eugene, and now we will start at this end.
I'm Peter Courtney. I'm a state senator from the Salem, Jervis, Woodburn area.
My name is Bill Hansel. I'm a state senator from District 29, which includes the northeast corner and central Oregon. I started at Hells Canyon and go all the way to Wasco County.
Chuck Thompson, Senator, Senate District, I think it's 26. I live in Hood River, and I cover a lot of Clackamas and Multnomah counties.
Arnie Roble, it's great to have our Coos Bay group here. This Senate District 5, Coos Bay to Tillamook, and over into Sheridan and Falls City in the Valley. But great to have everybody here, and thanks to have Katie here as well.
Thank you all. This is James Manning. I'm senator from Senate District 7, which is Eugene and Junction City.
Alan DeBoer, a senator from District 3, Medford, Ashland, Jacksonville, Talent, and Phoenix.
Rod Monroe, Senate District 24, Mid-Multnomah County, and some of northern Clackamas County.
Richard Devlin, Senate District 19, Lake Oswego, Westland, Tualatin, Lower Southwest Portland.
And two more members have joined us.
I'm Representative Barbara Smith Warner from Northeast Portland.
And State Representative Paul Holvey from House District 8, which is South Eugene, Lorain, Notai, and Walton.
So we're representing a lot of Oregon, and we are delighted that you're here with us virtually. Do we have a number of how many have signed up to testify?
16.
Thank you. Just by raising your hands, some of you are here to testify maybe on education, human services.
That's the first one we're going to start with is education.
Natural resources or public safety. Okay. This hearing is going to last for about an hour, and we want to hear from as many of you as possible. I think we'll be able to get to all of you. If you have written testimony, there is a way to hand it in, to submit it to us, and we can talk about that later. As you're called to the table, you probably have already heard, you've already determined who's going to start speaking. Then when the next group, who will speak first, I should say, and then when the next group comes to the table, whoever sits down first can start speaking right away. Each person will have 2 minutes to testify, and we have a timer that we hope you will hear beep. And so we ask that you just stick within your 2 minutes so everyone gets their turn. Also, please, there will be no responding or applause because that just takes time out of the hearing. And similarly, if you have questions, we will not be answering questions or making comments because we want to hear from you tonight. I think we're ready to start. Is that all right, Senator Devlin? Okay. Whoever would like to start first can go now. Wait just a moment while we can get the volume turned up here. Let's try that again. Can you? Is the microphone as close to you as possible?
They may have to adjust it downstairs.
That's better. That's better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. My name is David Bridges.
There we go.
I'd like to thank all of you, the members of the Historic Amazing Peace Committee, in having this conference at Port, Southwest Oregon College. And as we have been working with our budget process, I'm deeply concerned about the severe cuts that we're probably looking at in light of outside cost issues like PERS and health care reform, or health care insurance. I know that this is not a common problem, but I do know that the many years that I've had before here in Southwest, as sponsored cut, we tried very hard not to make up for the lack of state funding. Consequences are that funding missed is opportunity lost for our students. I'd like you to consider that when we work with our businesses and our industries, both with our career technical education, that we can tailor those programs so that our students are job ready and are instructed as best we can in the manner that industry works. That's our goal. Good at. So I'd like to encourage you, please start the budget discussion. And if there is additional funds available for community colleges, that you consider an investment in economic development by helping students becoming the best they can, the best job that they can find, to be good partners for all of us, good taxpayers, good citizens. Well, stepping into a job is going to help some business and industry feel their needs. So I
believe. Thank you. And could we, could you please state your name for the record now that we can hear better?
Yes, David Bridges.
Thank you. Next person. I can't hear anything yet.
Needs to be right in front of him.
We're not able to hear anything yet if you're speaking.
Right in front of the mic.
Taking her microphone.
Hi, my name is Michelle Chick. I'm representing Queens County Ambassadors, OSU Extensions. I'm here to talk about 4-H, especially OSU Extensions. I started 4-H quite a couple years ago, and I started in woodworking, so kind of a small group. I worked my way up, and now I'm the club president for my 4-H group. We are very involved in our community, and OSU has helped do that, or the extensions. OSU Extensions uses their funding to help statewide. They have an extension in every county, and those extensions help to bring jobs to local communities in the urban areas. They're helping to bring good water quality and bringing in jobs. Health and food safety is been a big concern this year. They started a program for 4-H called Yay 4-H, and that is talking about how to get fresh food to families that may not have it, low-income families, and is teaching kids how to prepare food. They enjoy working with the younger youth generations. I know I was accepted to OSU, and I'm pretty excited to looking forward to that. 4-H has just been a really good part of my life, and I can't wait to see what else it can bring. OSU Extension that I'm closest to in Myrtle Point has helped put together many events to help the community come closer, and funding those things is very important to us. And I believe that cutting would not allow any, or it would not allow the programs to excel like they should, and we do not want that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
My name is Peggy Burkett, and I am a Master Food Preserver Volunteer with the OSU Extension Office of Myrtle Point. I'm here to represent mostly the Master Food Preservers, but also Master Gardeners and all the other programs that are supported by this. The programs that are supported by OSU Extension reach a wide variety of people of all ages, and this is a good example of the young woman who's sitting next to me has gone through the 4-H program. We have many people that are of all ages that we try to reach. So that's one reason that it's very important. It is all over the state of Oregon. In every county has an extension office, and all of these programs are involved in those counties, excuse me. We cover environmental type things, health, foods, 4-H programs, cover a lot of areas, and then there's the volunteers who help with that. For each county office, not only do we have the advisors, but we have countless volunteers who help with these programs. We're not only supporting and helping with your funds aren't only just helping with these advisors, but also you're getting many, many people volunteering to help with these programs that wouldn't be able to do that if they didn't have their advisors and agents to help them. So we're actually reaching quite a few more people for our dollars than some other programs might, because we do have so many volunteers who can go out to the public. They're 4-H leaders, there's Master Food Preservers, there's forest people, and really help educate the public in all areas. By protecting the continuing service level that was projected, not only do we keep these agents, but we also keep our volunteers and the education they have been given by taking these programs and being able to pass on this information. But I want to make it clear, these volunteers don't do just.
Thank you so much. It looks like we already have two or three more people ready to speak. Is that right? Okay, everyone has to get cozy up to their microphone, it looks like. If someone is speaking, we can't hear you.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Isaac Johnson. I am from the Myrtle Point FFA chapter, and I am here to tell you guys a little bit of what FFA has done for me and what it means to me. FFA, I started out going to our FFA district leadership camp. That was the very first thing that I did when I moved up to Oregon from California, where I used to live. It was a little bit of a nerve-wracking experience for me. I hadn't been in school, and I didn't know anything new. Or any of the other kids, new kids. But not is FFA district, our FFA leadership camp are only activities that we do. We also do soils, livestock judging, and parliamentary procedures, which is like eating and things, rituals, which is their opening ceremonies. We also have a whole bunch of other leadership and speaking competitions that we do in FFA. It's been a meaningful thing in my life, and it's helped me come a long way from my freshman year when I started. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. For the record, my name is Sydney Elizalde, and I'm going to be talking about my FFA story also. So I started FFA last year because I've been in 4-H for 6 years, and I just thought I'd take some next step. And our FFA chapter in Myrtle Point is the last FFA chapter in Coos County itself. And some of the stuff FFA has done for me has helped prepare me for my future with contests like parliamentary procedure and all the speaking contests. You know, it just helps prepare you for your future, and I love doing it. Thank you, that's it.
Joanne Mass, Professor Emeritus of OSU Extension in Coos County, both as a 4-H agent and also the county administrator. And I'd like to remind everyone about the importance of the service districts on the Washington Coast. Each of the extension services on the coast are served with money service districts, which help the state fund these programs, and also without the districts, support that has been generated would not be realized. I think that when we helped our campaign for the service district, it was evident that the county population supported that. Over 60% of the people supported that 80% service district fee. Compared to many of the service districts and many of the other services, extension runs here with $4 that is 8% of $1,000. In Coos County, our office is still able to maintain services for agriculture, forestry, horticulture, marine sciences, as for volunteer programs of which you've heard others speak, the 4-H youth development program, and also our 4-H school enrichment program, which has really grown since the development of the service center, and also family community development programming, which assists in healthcare, food safety, many of the means that people use in order to supplement both their food supplies, their income, and their level of livelihood in this county. I believe that the extension in the past has done much to improve the livelihood of many people. And not only are these programs offered to individuals, but they also are offered at community events. There are free services available during county fairs, during festivals, throughout the year when there are gatherings.
Thank you. While you're getting seated, I want to express my appreciation to the volunteer there who's coordinating all of this. It's going so smoothly. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick Stillwagon, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Small Business Development Center. The SBDC serves as a vital function of helping small businesses find the resources and funding to create and build a successful business. Those businesses can replace those jobs lost, declining industries with fulfilling careers that can boost the morale of our community, keep aspiring young people in the area, and diversify the economy. Managing small business and producing the product of that business, two separate sets of skills the entrepreneur must master to be successful. Generally, an entrepreneur has a good idea of how to make their money, but navigating bookwork, human resources, finding affordable loans, grants, and putting the entrepreneur in touch with the local community network is a time-consuming effort that the SBDC has made efficient, organized, and accessible that otherwise would be unlikely for the entrepreneur to acquire on their own. This resource and service was extremely valuable to the establishment of my business. Leaving an area that is very unfriendly to small businesses and coming to Oregon to find a community and local government that was welcoming to a new business was and is refreshing. The SBDC was recommended to me by a small business owner when I started asking about local small business resources. Arlene Soto and her staff at the SBDC put me in touch with people and organizations that moved me from concept to operation. Developing and writing a business plan is a daunting task. Arlene walked me through the process. This led to my first introduction into the community by winning the Bay Area Business Challenge Grant. Shortly after that, I acquired my first loan based on information in the business plan the SBDC made possible. None of this would have taken place without Arlene's assistance and the SBDC. Small businesses are the solution to building a diversity. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Sharon Waterman. I'm chairman of the Coos County Animal Damage Control Advisory Committee. I'm a rancher, I'm a timberland owner, and most of all, I'm a grandmother.
Could you move the microphone just a little closer, please?
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. The natural resource industry is an essential part of Coos County economics. Each year, millions of board feet of timber are girdled by bears, damaging the trees and eventually killing them. In agriculture, those of us who are in the livestock industry, we have livestock that's filled by cougars, coyotes, and other predators. Besides that, the wolf is coming our way. But most importantly, as a grandmother, I am concerned about the human safety of predators. We see in the newspaper where bears are in the towns, and in schools, cougars are prevalent in areas such as Douglas County and our county. As landowners and as a county, we cannot maintain this program without the state's portion. And right now, the landowners, the county, USDA, and the state of Oregon have all contributed to maintain our program. It is not our job as the county and the landowners to manage wildlife predation for the whole state. Therefore, my ask of you today is that you put back the dollars in ODA budget and the Oregon Fish and Wildlife budget for predator control. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Mike Brown, Community Corrections Director for Coos County. I'd like to thank the committee for hearing my testimony. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Better.
Thank you. As you're aware, the three funding sources that Community Corrections receives from the state are the state grant and aid, the Measure 57, which is attached to property and drug fences, and the Justice Reinvestment Grant. Some of the things we use the money to send to this county are patrol division officers, support staff, an assistant district attorney, program staff, and a working supervisor. Some of the sanctions or interventions that we use the money for are for jail and work. Some of the services that we provide or contract are A&D treatment, sex offender treatment, polygraphs, transitional housing, cognitive behavioral programming, clean and sober housing, job search assistance, urinalysis testing, A&D reach-in in jail, both males and females, and also mentoring in the jail for males and females and as they transition out into the community. Just want to emphasize that several years ago, when we were looking at, the state was looking at building new prisons, and the goal was to keep prison commitments flat, that we've worked hard to reduce our commitments, and we believe that it will reduce hundreds of millions of dollars of opening a new expensive prison. Some of the things we look at that we've saved money with our downward departure program, which Greta Lowry is going to talk about. So I'd
like to thank you for hearing my testimony and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Greta Lowry, Lowry, OSB number 123750. A special hello to Representative McEwen. I am here to talk about the importance of funding the Justice Reinvestment Act. I'm a prosecutor for Coos County. However, I am embedded in the parole and probation department. I'm the only embedded prosecutor in the state of Oregon. Over the last biennium, Coos County received approximately $600,000 to the Justice Reinvestment Act. With that, we hired a full-time PO as well as a half of a PO position. Myself, we negotiated treatment beds and other services, including counseling. Our goal, what we are doing in Coos County, is we are keeping those who can be safely supervised in the community out of prison by utilizing the downward departure option found on the sentencing grid. As you may know, the cost to house an inmate in a Department of Corrections facility is $99 a day, approximately. At this point in time, the downward departure caseload of Coos County represents a savings right now in this minute of approximately $3.2 million. And it also represents a savings to our community by reforming offenders and keeping families together. As a small community, our citizens are our greatest resource, and we have used our JRA funds to invest in that resource. And I am here today to ask you and to urge you all to continue to invest in Coos County because what we are doing
is
working. Thank you. She's good. Hi. I am speaking on behalf of Star Hope. I am in a group home currently with Star Hope, and I am a good example of a success story, you would say. I was in a behavior home and now I am going into the community with first, April 1st, and now I am wanting to live on my own. Without the support of Star Hope, I would not be able to do this. They have helped me so much. They've taught me how to do laundry, how to do four simple daily activities on my own that I would not be able to learn if I wasn't in Star Hope. Whereas if I would have been on the street, if I wouldn't have come to Star Hope, I would have been on the street. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Florence Portal-Stevens, and I'm the Public Health Administrator with Coos County. I'm here to provide testimony for continued and much needed investment in our public health system. These investments are crucial in all communities in the state and especially in rural communities like ours. First of all, I wanted to make sure that you're aware that the state support for public health funding category is the primary funding source for communicable disease control program and prevention at local health departments. And a reduction in funding will reduce our ability to adequately investigate and control communicable disease in Coos County. This includes foodborne illnesses, control, influenza outbreaks, hepatitis, emerging diseases such as Ebola virus disease and the Zika virus, and rising rates of sexually transmitted diseases. Second of all, I wanted to discuss the Contraceptive Care Oregon program that allows hundreds of women and families in our community to access reproductive health care services that would not be available to them otherwise. Our local health department serves, as you know, a rural county, and we have 19% of the population who lives in poverty. In 2016, we served 512 patients who needed reproductive health services, and 38% of them came from the SeeCare program, which means that they do not have to pay for the services they receive, or if they do, based on income, we are able to slide their fees down to zero.
Yes, hello. My name is Lynn Misty Keeler, and I was given an Oregon Change Agent certificate from Governor Kitzhaber, medical doctor, in 2011, and I'm still working on why I got the Oregon Change Agent certificate. And my letter was to help create new jobs. So anyway, I'm here to work with you. I've been working with a group. It's called healthoverprofit.org. I hope everyone in the room that cares about our healthcare system goes to healthoverprofit.org. HR 676. It's in Congress right now, and it's single payer for all, and it's Medicare for all with no copays. It's really critical. It's a registered nurse in 2 countries, and I'm working on wellness centers, wellness job centers instead of jails and instead of wars. And I work with veterans for peace.org. I'd like to spread the word about what they're doing in their latest petition that goes with Senator Wyden, was to audit the Pentagon and no more money for war. So we're really looking at it building in wellness centers for body, mind, spirit healers. There's absolutely billions of different spirit healers. We want to set these up in every community as new mental health kit jobs, jobs, jobs.
Thank you.
My name is Dan Mara, and I have been with Star Hope for 6 years. I started out in a behavior home, and now I have my own, I'm still living in a group home, but it's an apartment building. And it's a lot better. The workers at our home are great people. They have patience.
Thank you very much.
My name is Mike Clausen. I'm here to speak on behalf of the County Health Department and the urgent needs that they fulfill in the community. That I know you've got terrible budget problems that you have to make cuts for, but the health department here and in other rural areas is sort of the last resort. If we can't take care of their problems, they end up in emergency rooms. Families fall apart when there aren't the services that are offered by our health department. If we don't spend the dollars here early on, these things multiply with the diseases and the problems with the birth control and communicable diseases. Dollars taken away here cost the community 4 or 5-fold that amount down the road because they dollars weren't here to take care of them early on. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Frances Smith from Coos Bay. I'm also asking you to maintain support for critical local public health programs, which are included in the Oregon Health Authority budget. The state support for public health category is a per capita amount, and what is provided to Coos County does not even fund one position. So to take dollars away from critical services that help to control contagious disease would be a real loss for Coos County. I also ask you to consider to maintain the funding for the Babies First program. This is a program that leverages funds. For example, $11,000 for Coos County leveraged over $450,000 in additional Medicaid dollars. So this is for a home visiting service that has been shown to make a difference in the health of young children who are at high risk of poor health and developmental delays. So please maintain these programs and services for local health.
Michelle Walters, member for the Sorrow, been there for 1 year from California. I know that the county, they're getting enough issues. So, with their caregivers be back home, I would like to start a club, but it would take some funding to get going, but not much. As when it gets going, the clients will pay for their activities. And also, there needs to be something here for people that are blind. I'm partial blind. I have a lot of work history, but haven't been able to get a job because of not blind services. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Raymond Block. I'm the founder of Leave No Trace. I'm here to speak about my recycling system that I created. LNTS buyers for number two plastics in California, Idaho, and Oregon. One shipment of number two plastics will allow LNT to create a self-sustaining full recycling program that will pay for recycling by the pound. LNT has a large grinder for the 12,000 pounds needed for the first shipment. Collection cans have been placed at hotels, companies, and citizens' residents, provided by Star Hope, which is also collecting number two plastics. What is needed for the success is a supply of recycled material and the labor costs to cover the first initial startup of the program. The benefits are a profitable, convenient recycling program that will positively impact the community and the environment. It will greatly reduce the amount of trash going to landfills or ending up in the forests and waterways of our communities that have been cleaned up for the past year. It will create funding for the community and LNT's mission and family-needed jobs. We will offer other people and future generations to change things for the better in their community.
Thank you. You'll need to pull the microphone closer to you.
Much closer. Okay. My name is Adrian Delion. I am the current chair of the Coos Bay School District. Our district is, of course, always in need of funding. We've been fortunate the last couple of years to step away a little bit of funding and we should have PERS increases and salary increases. Unfortunately, we're looking at budgets for the next biennium, and with those budgets, we're unable to maintain the program in our district. So we need to be aware a lot of our funding comes from funding the citizen grants. Grants, our rural areas are just along the I-5 corridor. Their services and money tends to go a lot farther than the services we provide in the district be more expensive, need more funding, and we're at a disadvantage when it comes to the money that are dispersed to grant money. So I want to encourage the legislature to continue to use the equal funding at
Thank you. If you're talking, I'm not able to hear.
Representative Hanson, I was just letting you know that that is the end of the speakers.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I can see that there are a few people standing back there. If some of you would like to crowd in so we can see how many of you are there, we can wave hello and goodbye to you for one last time as we conclude this hearing.
There's about 45 of us here.
Oh, that's a good group. We had no idea. Thank you for changing the camera angle for us. I appreciate that.
It was our pleasure. Jessica Engelke, President of Bay Ridge Chamber of Commerce. I'm Tom Burdett, Bay Ridge Chamber of Legislative Action Chair.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, now, I don't want the people in our second site to be alarmed. I'm going to gavel this hearing closed because technically the next hearing is a new hearing. We are coming back. We just have to pause. We gavel one closed, and then we gavel another hearing open at 6 o'clock. So stay with us, and we'll be back with you shortly. I'm now closing this one public hearing. Thank you. I'm now closing this one public hearing. Thank you.